It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam. Now takes a 6-4 lead.
Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Yankee Center, and holy shit, it has been a while. So much has not happened since our last episode, because baseball has been shut down with the CBA negotiations, and man, it has been a shit show. But we're here to get into all of it, and get into what the Yankees will hopefully do when we get out of this at some point, maybe in a few days, who knows. I mean, we'll find out, but let's hope for the best here. Guys, how you doing?
I'm all right. I mean, like you said, there's like nothing's happened for like 2 months, so like we just took a little break. I mean, if there was a time to take a break, it'd be a time where there's absolutely no news. All right, like the most we've gotten is some labor arguing and some prospect lists. That's about it. I mean, Carlos.
I mean,
Correa, the agent.
The Yes Booth is having a great offseason.
They had the best offseason out of anyone so far.
Yeah, they've acquired more center fielders than the Yankees have.
Huh. Wow, you're right.
Cameron Maven, Carlos Beltran.
That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, like, damn, if, like, Fix gets hurt again, we're going to have to pluck one of them from the booth. I mean, I think that's why we acquired them. Not to be broadcasters, but...
Yeah,
as long as they sign for a minimum contract, Hal is fine with it.
So. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You ever find it weird how Aaron Boone was in the booth, right? And he's kind of more qualified than Beltran to be in the booth, but Beltran has been, like, a bench coach before and, like... and worked in the front office, so he's more qualified to be a manager. And they've got reverse roles, because Boone's the manager, and Beltran's in the booth. But, like, feels like it should be reversed from their past.
We should get a Yes Network Yankees trade going and send
yeah,
Boone
like,
upstairs like and get Beltran on the field.
The booth acquires Boone, and the baseball team acquires Beltran. That's
I'll take
like,
it.
Just makes more sense. Future Hall of Famer Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Yes.
70 war. Once you crack 70, you're in.
Mm-hmm. Guy's a legend.
He was a beast. He was a beast back in the day. Got hurt a lot, but, you know, we don't talk about that. But, yeah. Eddie, how are you doing, sir?
My life is, like, adapted to being baseball-less. Like, I can't explain it. Like, there's the offseason, and, like, even though there's no baseball – you know, there's rumors and there's always like, even though there's like a slow period all the time, like there's something to keep you entertained. I mean, from December 1st to, I don't know when their first meeting was, but I think it was like 70 something days. Like there was just literally absolutely nothing with baseball. So like I watch football, I watch basketball, baseball just hasn't even been a part of my life because there's literally nothing going on for a solid 2 months. And now the only thing we're hearing is labor disputes. Jameson Taillon just bought Starbucks for everyone, and
that's huge.
About everything that's going on. I mean, that's the biggest news of the day, right? Is Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
If you're questioning how
really
things are going, not good.
Yeah, like I think the funniest moment so far has been like the Associated Press like saying, "Oh, look at Max Scherzer,
the Porsche.
Arriving in a Porsche," and it's like. It's like the owners can, like, any owner in the MLB right now can buy 100,000 of those Porsches if they wanted to. Like it just doesn't make any sense. We don't have to get into that, but, like, it's just ugly right now. It doesn't seem like any significant progress is being made. I don't expect Well, the season to start on. We're fucked. We're fucked.
I'll say this. Yesterday was the most progress they've made in a while. So I'll give them
in
credit
like
there.
3 years.
How much does that yeah. mean, though? Because it was well, very, of course. It was still.
It's on a. Let's be honest. If we're gonna rank the importance of the categories that need to be collectively bargained, I think draft lottery is on the low end, and so like, that's kind of like
yes.
Like I don't even care about that, to be
it's
honest.
On it's on the been... low end, but they made it clear, like in the article from what was it? What's his name? Fuck, I'm having a brain fart. What's the reporter that I don't like?
Nightingale.
No. Oh, actually, no. Never mind. I got them mixed up. Just Jesse Rogers. I do like him.
Okay.
In his article, like he was saying there was optimism on both sides following the meeting, at least to some level, which is something that there wasn't even said before. Before, right. Even when they made progress, it was said after, like, there still isn't really much hope. But that was the first time I heard, honestly, all offseason, where it said both sides have some level of optimism. And I'm not going to say that means we're going to start on time, but I do think that means something because we're in a place right now where, you know, neither side wants to lose money. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, you start the season late. Say what you want about, oh, you know, those players don't want to miss those paychecks, but the owners are still going to lose money if you're missing weeks of games. I mean, that's still a lot of lost revenue either way. I mean, both sides are going to suffer. So, you know, it's in the interest of both sides right now. And I think if I were to be a betting man, I think it literally comes together at the last second. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm an optimist. I have a feeling it will come together literally at the very last second. We're going to get some great news, and I will be happy because yeah. we need it back, man. We need baseball back. And more than anything, the sport itself needs to come back because they're going to die. They are going yeah. to die if they don't start the season on time because they're already in a horrible place.
People are fed up already. But as you said, deadlines can
it's not
you know,
ideal.
Push sides to come to an agreement. So that's really all we can hope for is that.
I
like,
mean,
you
I'm fed up. I mean, Jesus, I've been a fan my whole life. And like, I couldn't like up until like recently, I couldn't give less of a shit about baseball right now. And right. that just shows you how fucking aggravated I am with all of this. I mean, and I'll say this, the players, I support the players, obviously, but they need Michael Kay makes this point, and I agree if it's true. The players can't expect to get back everything they lost in one negotiation.
Exactly.
And that's just the reality of it. Like they can improve things a lot and slowly progress, but you can't expect every single thing that got fucked up in the past to suddenly fix itself within one negotiation. Because at that point you're expecting the owners to give in to literally what would be every demand, and you just can't expect that. So I think both sides need to continue to compromise, which they were yesterday, but in the end it's really the biggest thing, the tax threshold, man. That's what's fucking everything up. Until they come to terms on that, it's hard to really see anything happening because, you know, both sides are they're making the same case. You have one side saying in the case of players, oh, you know, this is basically a salary cap. And then you have owners saying, no, this is not a salary cap. This is keeping teams in check. Well, either way.
It's acting as a salary cap.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But you know, but owners are going to pull the logistics on it and say it's not and say it's here.
Semantics.
For yeah, exactly. And it's bullshit, obviously. It's total bullshit because look at what the Yankees are the prime example, dude. I mean, they are the prime example. The New York Yankees should not, and this is, and forget about all the people saying, oh, you greedy Yankee fans, you know, you need a crazy high payroll. No, it's not about that. It's about the context of what this team has spent previously to what they're spending now in the year 2022. Like, we just had a payroll in 2021 of $210 million, and we just had the Yankees fucking owner say, we can't outspend the Dodgers, which we all know is not true. Right. They can outspend anybody they want to outspend if they have that desire. And they can do it while still making all the money they fucking want. So in the end, they are bullshitting and other teams like them are bullshitting.
And the luxury tax gives them a cover to say, oh, if we do go over, we're going to have to get under because we can't bear these penalties.
And that's, you gotta remember, that's, yes, yes, you're right.
And you have to remember that in the, I think, like, one of the initial luxury tax offers that were made, they want to lower the payroll, I mean, lower the threshold, but increase
and raise
the
penalties. It's like, it's like, no.
it's such a clear salary cap that just isn't named the salary cap. And like, it's just, it's ridiculous. I think the players are trying to get it up to 245. And I think that's like really, I think that's even being generous considering the state of where the sport is now. I mean, this is a $10 billion industry. You look, the Yankees are spending the same amount on their payroll as they were in like 2005, right? That, like, it's not going up. It's not going up, but the revenues are going way up. Like, they just signed a new $100 million deal with, who was it? ESPN, right?
Think
to
so,
do more
yeah.
playoff stuff. I mean, like, they're doing all right. All right. Financially, they are doing baseball, as much as we like to say it's dying, because in a way it is. I mean, kids aren't playing baseball as much anymore, yada, yada, yada. And like the future, like 20 years from now, that may be a real problem. But like right now, they're doing okay. Okay. And like, it seems like 300 is like this magic number that will never be met in terms of payroll. But like logistically, a baseball team can, at this point, have a $300 million payroll. The Dodgers can do it. The Mets can do it. The Yankees can do it. Like you, or even close to 300. Like,
right. You don't even need, right. Yeah. Like, you don't even need 300. Like, if you tell me teams like at the top end of the market are in like the 250, 260 range, that's even still enough, because you look at what
the Mets
Yankees
are at, like 270.
Yeah,
right?
I was gonna say, yeah.
Like, imagine if the Yankees could add 50 million to their payroll. You know how much they could do with 50 fucking million to their payroll? Like, they could literally add Correa, Matt Olson, a center fielder, and still have a little bit of fucking room in that scenario, which just tells you like how skewed things are. You know, the Mets, they're the one team that people made it clear, and I do believe this, that other teams worry about in regards to getting rid of like penalties. And I will say that's at least a little bit valid, because they're going to spend like drunken sailors. And I believe that, like Michael Kay always used to say, like, Cohen ain't going to spend like a drunken sailor. No, I think he is going to spend that way.
I think, like,
I firmly believe it.
The Scherzer negotiations kind of prove that, like, when that man wants someone, he's going to throw them. Right. He's got that George Steinbrenner kind of thing to him, where it's like, if there's a player that, like, we got to get that guy, Steve Cohen has that in him more than Hal does. Although Hal did get Cole, but like, you have to remember that by getting Cole, we had to let depth go, because like, there was a budget. So like, Cole was like the only thing we did in the 2019 offseason.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was the year like they had to let Didi go. I mean, Didi was gonna go anyway.
Didi,
like,
I wasn't.
They didn't,
yeah.
They didn't really do anything else that offseason, and it kind of creates kind of this top heavy team, because when you sign a big deal, but you have a budget, like, you have to lose the little pieces that really make your team whole. Because remember, that 2019 team was awesome. It was filled with a lot of depth. You know, everyone stepped up. And I would sign the Cole contract 100 times over. It's just issue of, like, we have the money to do that and keep those little pieces that really make our team whole. Because can you imagine Cole and those incremental pieces?
Right.
To be fair
to Hal, after 2019, I thought all we really needed was that top of the line ace, and then we'd really be like a World Series contender, because it seemed like that's what we were always lacking in like a playoff series. Like, you needed a guy to go out there in game one and just shut the other team down. And even though I love Severino, I still think he's a number one pitcher. I don't think he's like the ace like Gerrit Cole or like a Max Scherzer.
You can't bank
is,
on him now.
Yeah, especially now, but even then, I still think he wasn't like at that level. He's like maybe like a tier below it. So I understood that, but then 2020, obviously, we just a lot of regression, and then I'm not even gonna say it.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing I want to talk about is like, why do the Yankees need to spend right now? Well, because for two straight years, our team has really cratered.
Yeah.
Like, it really has. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Gleyber Torres has like 11 home runs in 2 years or something. All right. Gio Urshela doesn't walk, is always limping somewhere. Like, that dude has a constant limp. And, like, he doesn't have great power. So we're slow. We don't hit home runs as much as we used to. And it's just, like, bad vibes right now, all right? I'm not really looking for... I think a big reason why we've managed this lockout is because we know right now that our team isn't good enough, and we're just secretly hoping that the lockout will just make Hal change his mind and want to spend money again, because the team isn't good enough. And it's like, I'm not looking forward to watching a Yankee team that has, like, Andrelton Simmons or Jose Iglesias playing shortstop with Gio Urshela at third base and Gleyber Torres at second base, DJ LeMahieu at wherever he's playing, because, like, it's not good enough. It has been proven it's not good enough. And, like, the least you could do, if you're not going to spend on Correa or Freeman or whoever you want to name, can we at least open up discussions with Judge? Can we at least do that? Can you at least throw us that bone?
Not even just that. I think the big problem for me is they want two things that don't work together. They want A, to not spend a crazy amount of money, and B, they also don't want to give up prospects.
Right.
And you can't. Yeah. And that's the problem. You can't have both if you're trying to improve your team, because if you're not going to spend, then you got to be active on the trade market and use some of that depth.
But you can't do both. Better. We have to get better. We are not a championship team.
But
right now.
Choose one or the other. Choose one, or you want to go both, even go both. But
it's,
make a choice.
It's the constant battle between, like, wanting something but not doing what it takes to get it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you want Matt Olson, but you don't want to give up Oswald Peraza for him. Right?
I will
you
give up Peraza right now.
Me too.
No, I mean you as in hell.
Okay.
You want Carlos Correa or Trevor Story, but you don't want to pay him.
Right.
You want to extend Judge, but you haven't even talked to the guy. Like, they haven't opened up serious discussion. You gotta, like, do it to do it. Like, do it. Does that make sense? Like, I mean, fuck. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, woe is me here. They really have become kind of like, woe is me a little bit. Yeah. It's like, pay money, trade prospects, get your major league team better, because we haven't been a championship caliber team in a while. It's been a while.
2019 was the last time, really.
Yeah.
2019 was the last year, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, Judge, too.
Yeah. Oh, you can.
All right, I totally forgot what I was going to say, so just go ahead.
It'll come back. When Judge took Verlander deep in game two of the ALCS, that was like, I was like, oh shit, this might actually happen, and then it just...
You know, the moment I thought it was actually going to happen was when Hicks hit the home run off of Verlander. That was like, that was the moment where I was like, holy shit, I think this might happen.
We're gonna come back. Because remember, I think what screwed us was, like, Gary got hurt a few weeks before, and then he came back rusty, and Encarnacion came back rusty.
Yep.
And then Stanton took Granky deep game one.
That was fucking nuts. I remember that.
And then he had a calf injury
but
or something?
Yeah, but he strained something in his, I think, quad or calf. Yeah, and it was like, fuck, because then, like, not having Giancarlo Stanton. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Giancarlo Stanton's actually pretty good.
He is.
He's great. He's a great player.
He's pretty good. So, you know, missing that guy, and then Encarnacion clearly not being Encarnacion. It's just like, that was a fucking... That was disappointing. And then, like, it really has all been downhill from there.
Yeah.
Like,
is Encarnacion still in the league? Random question, but.
What?
I feel like I haven't seen Encarnacion in a while. Is he still playing?
I don't think he. Is he?
I think the last time we saw him, he was
2020.
For the White Sox.
And he has 157 batting average. So that 2019 postseason carried in. I think he was. His best days were behind him, but.
So,
it was a solid acquisition
really,
at the time.
So let's go through the Yankees team right now, just briefly.
Okay.
So first base, let's hypothetically say it's Luke Voit. He's a good player.
Him. Always hurt.
He's a good player, but what you just said, he's always hurt. Mm-hmm. He's slow.
He is and slow. He can't very finish. Slow. Yes. All those things
and
are true.
You go to, then you go to second base. Mm-hmm. Let's put Glaber there at second base.
Okay.
Slow. Doesn't hit home runs. Mental errors like up the wazoo. Consistent decline ever since the balls were deduced and just a decline in general.
Yep.
Okay. Not really looking forward to him in 2022. I am soured on him. Now, shortstop, let's put Gio there for now.
Oh, boy.
Let's say, like I said, constant limp. All right, yes. This dude's got constant leg injuries. It's kind of funny. It's a little funny. Now, he's a good defender, but he doesn't run well, and he doesn't really have a crazy amount of power.
Nope.
He swings at everything, makes decent contact. He hits the ball hard, but he doesn't have, like, 30 home run power. But he's okay. He's okay. And then DJ had two great years. Last year, dude couldn't hit a home run. Let's be honest. The lack of power is what kind of poo-poos on DJ LeMahieu. And he also doesn't run well, right? So, like, he's kind of just like this tall contact hitter.
Look, I will say, though, I will say he was definitively, like, he was hurt last year. We know for a fact
he was hurt. I am willing to give him another shot.
That's how I feel, too.
I'm willing to give him another shot. Left field now. Joey Gallo. I actually do have confidence in Joey Gallo. I'm
Me
one
too.
Of those people.
I do. I do, too, actually.
Obviously, the dude will never hit for a high average, but he walks a shit ton, hits bombs, and plays gold glove defense. He brings a certain athleticism component that the Yankees team misses, which is very nice. The ability to run is always fun. Hey, that rhymed. So I'm okay with Gallo. Awesome. He's probably one of the best left fielders in baseball because the left field position is pretty weak. Center field, now this is one where it's like Hicks. I don't think he can play center field anymore.
He can't.
But they're gonna put him there. They will put him there.
Like here's the thing. I mean, like with all those injuries, and now he's in his 30s. And even when he was playing, it didn't look like he had the same quickness that he used to.
He lost his arm.
I don't see him being a good center fielder. Maybe he's a high 700 OPS guy in center field, which would be nice, but the defense is concerning. Yeah. And we all know, he has been hurt pretty much every year of his Yankee career. And then we go to Judge. He's obviously MVP. And then Stanton, obviously, now he's playing the field. Awesome. Those two guys are like the locks. The guys that I'm like, yes, awesome to have them. We're good there. Pretty much everyone else. I squeal a little bit. I squirmish.
Yeah.
Oh, and I forgot Gary.
We're stuck with him, so I'm not even gonna complain about him
anymore. Yeah, I'm kind of
he's
with
our
that.
Starting catcher. So,
the nicest thing that I can say when it comes to Gary is like, if we're gonna judge him by catcher standards, he's perfectly adequate. And probably average to slightly above average if we're going to go by positional value there. So, and then their bullpen's good, obviously, in the rotation with Cole and Sebi and Monty. I think we're okay. And we do have depth. But really, it's more position players because we couldn't hit for shit last year. Let's be honest. We didn't have enough power. We hit into a million double plays. We weren't athletic enough. We just... There is a problem with the formula. We need there's a very clear fix, and it's just get better baseball players. I mean, can you now let's imagine a baseball team with Stan and Judge, Gallo, and then a Correa and an Olson. Now that's five guys.
Good team. Yes.
That's five guys who can absolutely mash. There's some athleticism to it too, because Olsen and Correa are both excellent defenders. You know, I'm just saying, better baseball team. Better baseball team. Just saying.
I mean, just there's make, no way around, make your team no better. Way around it. They, like you said, they need to improve the team, and guys like Correa, Olsen, even if you go like in the, I can even live with an offseason where you get, let's just say, if they truly go with the stopgap at shortstop, which I do believe they are, either way, I do. I believe that.
I think they're betting on. I think they're betting on Oswald Peraza being ready by like.
And you know what? Again, if they actually are going to bet on that, don't be fucking assholes and do that thing where you say you're going to commit to a prospect and then just don't give him a chance to like next year. Don't do that. Like, you actually have to play him middle of the season, assuming he's hitting. Assuming he is hitting. But in the case of the rest of the positions they've talked about potentially improving at, like, you know, catcher is obviously not happening, like we said. That's not going to be touched. Mm-hmm. First base, I mean, it'll be touched, but does that mean, like, bringing back Rizzo? Or I like him, but...
That's, know, like, the most, it. Like, yeah, like, I'm not, you're not happy about it, but you're not, like, sad. It's, like, just, like, a, it's just okay, like, we're, you signed we're the same. Him, like, nice.
Yeah. I just don't know how I feel about giving a 32-year-old Rizzo like a 3-4-year deal, bro.
I don't feel good about it, to be honest.
I don't think he gets 4 years.
It's so tricky because, like, it's just like, I'm just like not into, like, there are clearly options at first base and shortstop that are in their 20s.
Yeah.
That, like, I want to be young and I want to be athletic and, like, but to Rizzo's credit, he always works a good at bat and he does play good defense, but like, how much longer? You get what I'm saying? And he was a first baseman with an OPS that started with a 7, and I want a first baseman whose OPS is at least 850.
Well, I think Rizzo, I don't think he's gonna get more than a 3-year deal. I do. Yeah. The market is not going to be good for him, I don't think at all. Who's going to be interested in him at a 4-year fucking deal? Nobody. Right. The Cubs wouldn't give him that. I don't think any team out there would give him that. Even the Yankees.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
No, they aren't going to give him 4 years. The most he will get is 3 years. And honestly, I wouldn't even be shocked if he got 2 only, because we've been talking about this for a while. The middle class of players are going to do very poorly coming out of the CBA. They are not going to do well. The top tier guys, they always get their money, regardless of the circumstances. That's just the way it is. They will always get their money. Correa, he's getting paid one way or another. Someone like Anthony Rizzo, I wouldn't bet on it. So with that said, I knowing the Yankees, because you know how they operate, they look for bargains, and they will look at Anthony Rizzo, see a 2 to 3 year deal at a lower average annual value than projected initially, and they'll say, you know what? We are going to get a good bang for a buck here. Let's get him, save some money, and potentially get a 800 OPS guy out of that, assuming he's what he should be. And then they'll call it there. You know that's what they might do. And if they don't, I don't think it's going to be Matt Olson either, because they are going to trade him for sure. Athletics are definitely trading Matt Olson. That's pretty clear at this point. But the Yankees, they are going to pay up what chips they need. They are such prospect huggers, dude. And it's ironic because they just traded away so many prospects at the deadline. Mm-hmm. And keep this in mind, too, with that. This shows you how cheap they are. They gave extra prospect capital to save money.
Yeah.
Literally to save money so they don't have to pay those guys.
I mean, like, here's the thing. They did it to stay under the tax. They did give up extra prospects for Rizzo and Gallo to stay under the tax.
I know. That's what's so confusing.
Here's the thing. We were under the impression that by getting under the tax that we would be able to sign a Correa or a Seager or someone of note.
That's what I'm saying. So what was the point?
And, like, what was the point of that other than to save money? Because if we were just going over the tax last year, right, we could have made the team a whole lot better than it actually ended up being.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking get, like, we need a catcher, we need a first baseman, we need a shortstop, and we need a center fielder, all right? It's not good enough, okay? Do something. Do anything. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it feels like we're in a constant state of in the middle, you know? where it's like there's no decisive direction or plan right now. And I think the actual decisive direction and plan is to just save money. And just like, and in a championship window in which you have not gotten it done yet, let's point that out. By the way, we haven't done it. We haven't won the World Series. We haven't even made it to the World Series. All right, like I think cutting costs would be like a little more acceptable. Still not acceptable. If we had actually, I don't know, won a World Series, because then we can say, oh well, at least we won the World Series. But yeah, but no, like. When you should be like, Hal Steinbrenner should be desperate to make this team as good as it can be, especially with the prime of Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge right now. I mean, in a few years, they're going to be on the decline. Win the World Series.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean,
these should be the years in which we do everything we can. The same way that, you know, when you have a franchise quarterback in football and they're on their rookie deal. Yeah, you spend in free agency. You make your team as good as possible, because when you pay your quarterback the big deal to keep him around, that uses up a lot of your cap space and your team kind of suffers for it. Let's be honest. So it's kind of the same thing here. You have Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. They're awesome. They're MVP, Cy Young caliber players. It's time. Yeah. It's time to give. It's time to provide. Provide for.
Like I feel like I've ranted about this so many times that it's honestly boring just to even talk about this now. Because like I've said it so many times, and it's like, what difference does it make if I keep saying it? I really don't buy that they're gonna do anything. I love to be wrong. Please, for the love of God, prove me wrong so I can shut the fuck up.
I agree.
But I
agree.
Like, doing this episode, truthfully, talking about this isn't even fun, because it's like, I just don't have any hope. I really don't.
I think it's a big reason why we took a bit of a hiatus.
That is. I've had no motivation to talk about the team.
It's like, it's hard to get up for these kinds of things when you don't feel like your organization is putting their best foot forward anymore. And it just hurts, because the Yankees used to be known for that. Like, that used to be, like, their thing, where it's like, the Yankees are always going to do what it takes to get the best players, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not saying we have to, like, be the mid-2000 Yankees that just signed every big free agent and had no chemistry whatsoever. I love prospects. We're about to talk about the prospects in a minute. It's just, like, when there's clear needs, the same way that there was a clear need for Gerrit Cole, there's a clear need for shortstop now. I like Volpe and Peraza, and there is room for one of them at least, even if you do sign a Correa, right? Mm-hmm. We need to become good now while also being prepared to be good in future years, the same way that in like 2017, 2018, we still had like Starlin Castro, Didi, they were doing their thing while Glaber was waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Prepare. Always be prepared. Like, the Dodgers do this all the time. They do it better than anyone. They had freaking Corey Seager playing shortstop, right? And now, you know, they acquire Turner, which allows them to let Seager walk. But they also have Gavin Lux, who's one of the best prospects in baseball, right there to step up in Seager's absence. And it keeps the cycle kind of going.
The Yankees have an embarrassment of riches at shortstop. I mean, like, why are
cash
you
one in?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So why are you afraid to trade any? Because it's not even just like they don't even just have two. Like, they have what I consider to be four high end potential shortstop prospects between Volpe, Peraza, Trey Sweeney. I count him, and Roger Arias. To me, all four of them have crazy upside. They all have crazy upside.
We didn't do an episode on us signing Arias. No, we haven't.
Because he wasn't worth an episode.
We'll talk about that when we get into the prospects in a minute.
So, I'm trying to think. I guess, you know, the farm system is really solid, honestly. It is. Like, you look down the names on this list, whether it's the guys I just said, or obviously the Martian, Jason Dominguez, mm-hmm. Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt, who obviously has problems, but he's still a guy to look at. I mean, Austin Wells, say what you want, defensive problems, but the bat's going to play. That bat is going to play somewhere. And you keep going down the list.
Oakland.
And this is the big one for me I would look at. Everson Pariah, dude.
I was about to say
that,
him.
That dude freaking rakes. Like, that's a guy that could really go up the list this year in terms of prospect rankings. Because last year he made a list or two. He did. But that, the only thing is he didn't play a crazy amount of games, so people were cautious to put him higher. But I think if he has another full year, he is really going to, like, skyrocket.
He's young, too.
Very young. I mean, and in the last couple of drafts, honestly, I thought the Yankees have done very well. Like, I've liked the players they've been drafting as a whole. So, you know, I think if they keep building and they keep playing so well on the international market, which they have done great the last 2 years, and apparently right now they're the favorites to sign next year's top international guy, Brandon Maia or something.
Yeah, he's an outfielder.
Yeah, so, like, they have the potential to get the top guy 3 years in a row, which would be, like, huge. That would be huge for the system because the reality is scouting is so good nowadays. They're usually right when it comes to the top guy in the international market. Like, usually out of, like, five of the top guys you draft, like, for, or not draft, but sign for the number one ranking, I would say at least three of those five end up panning out usually. On average, I would say at least 60%. So,
right.
And if you're getting three of them, I wouldn't be shocked if you get two of those guys to pan out, man. And that's, like, that's huge. That's, like, really big. And they're all going to be coming up around the same time just because they're all around that same age group, too. So, you know, they're in a place where the farm system could really carry the future of this team. But the reality is, again, like we've been saying, you can't just count on that because prospects are prospects until they prove themselves. And beyond that, too, you know, you have to spend to succeed as a team because you got to fill some holes with the money you have, especially when you're a team like the Yankees and you got that money. Why would you not use your strength? Because that is your biggest strength. No matter what you say in regards to, oh, you know, they're maybe good at drafting now, or their analytics department is maybe getting better, let's say. Forget about that. You have money. That's your biggest resource. Money is what's going to play, so use it. It doesn't get much more simple than that.
Yeah.
Be the Dodgers. Just spend on everyone. Also have the greatest farm system ever. Do both. Just be the Dodgers. Mini Dodgers. That's the goal.
The only thing I hate that we do is, like, we're relying, like, don't get me wrong, I love all of our prospects, but it's like, let's wait 2 years for this guy to come up. Like, Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole aren't going to be in their primes forever. Like, there's a window. Like, no matter what, like, even though they're the Yankees, like, yeah, they'll always be, I don't think they're ever going to go below 500, at least soon. I'm sure it'll happen eventually, but we're always, like, in the middle of it, whether it's, like, 85 wins, 90 wins, they're always somewhat in contention. But this is the window to actually win a championship. Like, there's a 2013 to 16 stretch where you're mediocre. This is our time now. From 2017 to, I mean, I hope we're not nearing the end of it, but we might be. Like, let's go. Let's put all our chips on the table and win. Do whatever it takes. After you win, if you want to get cheap, I mean, it would still be annoying, but you can't complain. You have a World Series, fine. Hal can be as cheap as he wants. Prospect hoard, whatever. But, geez, at least win one.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a shame to sign Garrett Cole. It's such a giant deal. Say he's, like, literally, they didn't just say they expect a championship. They said during that press conference, championships. Yeah. And that just, and honestly, that could be part of the root of the problem. They're looking so far into the future in terms of what they hope they can do, looking at all these prospects and saying, you know, we're building a dynasty, but the reality is they're not. They're kind of skipping parts to building this dynasty. They're skipping a lot of these essential parts of what they need to build. I mean, they're trying to build, let's say, a mansion with a few sets of wood and paint.
Yeah.
And you can't.
I like that. I like that analogy.
You know, you can't do that.
In order to have a dynasty, you have to win one.
Right.
You have to win one.
That too. The '90s Yankees were a dynasty, not because when they won in '96, they weren't called a dynasty because they won once. Even in 98, probably they weren't called a dynasty just yet. But, like,
you can't plan a dynasty. You have to just do it. You don't say, we got to plan on winning multiple. We got to keep these prospects because we're gonna win. No. Just make your team as good as possible to win it. And eventually it'll happen. Just the goal as a GM is to make the team as good as possible.
Well, that's what the Red Sox have always done. And that's like what Dave Dombrowski did for a while, too. Like, he would always go all in on a team, win the championship. They go to shit for a little while, but they have a couple-year window where they have a legitimate shot at winning it all. And that's why the Red Sox win, because every few years they win, they have a good few-year stretch, they go back to poop because of the way their team was built, they, you know, regather assets, then a few years later, they build right back up again. It happens every few years. I mean, you're about to see it again. I mean, look at the Red Sox last year. They're not there yet, but they're fucking close.
They still beat us in the playoffs.
Yeah, they beat us, and they are like one really good offseason away and some prospects stepping up from like being right there with the rest of the AL East. So like don't count them out, man. Do not count them out, because right now we are quite literally have the potential to be the fourth worst team in this division. I'm not gonna say we are for sure, but like it's 1,000% possible. Easily.
It's on the table. I mean, like, we're not that good.
No. And I think the Blue Jays are gonna step up from they have a lot of young guys. And I definitely who'd they sign?
Gausman.
Yep. And obviously Guerrero, Bichette, they have a bunch of young guys that can hit. It's really only the pitching that's a concern, and they lost Ray too, but those young guys are going to step up. That's a good team, too. And then, obviously, the Rays, who, I mean, the roster's not good, we don't think. And then they're always somehow great. I don't know how they do it.
They always just find a way. Just expect them to.
They'll win 100 games, I'm sure. So they'll do that.
Like, it doesn't make sense, but, like, they always do it. So
if you look at the Blue Jays prospects list, too, dude, for their top five prospects, literally 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are expected to be in the majors by 2023, and 3 of them are expected to be in the majors next year, as in like this year, this upcoming season. 3 out of their top 5. So like they're not going anywhere. They're gonna keep getting stronger. So be ready for it. Be ready for it, because they are gonna be a problem. The Rays have been a problem. The Red Sox are going to be a problem too.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that being said, I think it's time to segue into something a little positive, and we touched on it briefly, but we ourselves do have some good prospects.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
We have, in particular, one of them who was the minor league player of the year, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't
he? Yes, he was. Yes, well, on one of the lists. I think Baseball America might have gave him prospect.
That's all that matters.
He was definitely the Italian minor leaguer of the year. As a fellow Paisan myself, congratulations. He actually did win the award for Italian minor leaguer of the year. They had an actual benefit for it. I think Boone was there as well, but that is actually not a joke. So, but yes, he's consistently ranked in the top 10. Kind of reminds me of the Glaber hype, but he's got more power than Glaber, more speed than Glaber. So
I don't think Glaber can put up these big numbers in the minor leagues either.
Volpe had arguably one of the best minor league seasons by any Yankee prospect ever.
Yeah,
He had 1,000, like an OPS well over 1,000, like 33 steals. You know, he hit like 30 homers. Like he's just, and he hit like 30 doubles as well or something. Yeah. So, and he's a good defender. He really does have the entire package. And so like with him, I understand, you know, hugging that guy. Cause it's like, all right, this guy, there's something about him too. He's kind of got that it factor too. So like, we're keeping that guy.
Yes.
That guy. Yeah. We're keeping that guy. He stays. But I think like, I do like Peraza. I think he's got a bright future. But I think you can trade one of them, preferably Peraza.
Yeah.
If need be, if there were to be, say, a player who helps the Yankees win the World Series in 2022, but Since we're on the subject of just what if they all stay, I think Peraza is closer than Volpe right now.
Yeah, he is.
And I do think that if Peraza is in the organization by August 1st, that Peraza will be the shortstop.
I think if you're the Yankees, Peraza's an excellent defender. He's really great at shortstop. So ideally, you know, I would probably say you have Peraza at short by the end of the year, assuming you don't get like a Correa or something, which we're counting out in this scenario. Let's just say that you put Peraza at shortstop and you're counting on Volpe probably to go to second base, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at in that scenario, because either that or, again, you bite the bullet and trade Peraza at some point. But, you know, I don't think you need to. But it depends on Glaber more than anything, honestly. I think this year is the year where if Glaber has a bad year, it's over. For me, it's pretty close to over, because at that point, that is quite literally three bad seasons in a row.
Yeah.
And not just bad, like way below average. So at some point, you got to call it, and that's where you'd call it, especially when you have literally two of the top middle infield prospects in all of baseball knocking on the door. Like, you're not going to deny them because, Gleyber Torres used to be really good. No, forget about used to be. It's what are you now? So we'll see. But outside of them, though, there's a lot of good
prospect type. Like, the prospect type that Gleyber had, it only goes so far. I mean, like, you still have to do it, like, or else you're just not good, or else you're just a prospect that didn't pan out.
You know, I think a big thing, too, is by 2023, a lot of these prospects are supposed to be ready. So, literally, if you look at the ETAs,
Volpe's starting in Double-A.
Yeah, Volpe's 23, so he'll be ready. He will definitely be ready by 2023. And who knows? There's even a chance he could force the issue next year. Like, if anyone could do it, it would be
him. He's a special talent, man. He's a special talent. And he's a very polished person. He's just like, he just kind of like, he's more advanced than what his age would say. And so I do think, like, usually the Yankees are pretty conservative with their prospects in terms of forcing them up. But if there's anyone to be that guy to make the big jump, it would be him. To jump two levels.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, and aside from him too, obviously Peraza's this year, but Luis Gil, he's basically ready. Like, he's put up the numbers. Yeah. Like, that's a guy you can give a chance whenever you're ready. And like Austin Wells, he's right now, he's projected 2023, and I think that's possible too at some position. Yeah. And you keep going, Ken Waldichuk, dude, like, he's been putting up crazy numbers.
Strikes everyone out.
Yeah, I mean, his strikeout rates are crazy.
Yeah, it seems like they're pretty set on keeping Wells a catcher, it seems like.
I agree, but I don't think he's going to stick there. I don't.
I don't know.
I think the guy to look at a catcher in the organization is still Antonio Gomez. I do.
He's just a ways off.
He's a ways off, but he is a defensive wizard, and aside from that, his power numbers, like, he's got some pop. Like, if he has a low batting average, it's not like Gary, where at least with Gary, the thing is, Gary is A, he's inconsistent, and B, he has
nothing.
Shut up. He doesn't have horrible defense, but it's not good either. Like, in that case with Gomez, you'd have elite defense with at least decent numbers for a catcher, and that you take. I mean, you're thrilled about that, quite honestly. I mean, and right now, his ETA, it could be off, but it's the same year as Austin Wells right now, 2023. He's a little behind him, but, like, where did Antonio Gomez finish? I think it was at Tampa, if I recall. Let's see. Yeah, he finished in Tampa, and I think Wells finished one level above him with what team is I get the minor league
Hudson Valley, right?
Yes, I think Wells finished with Hudson Valley, so he's really only one level ahead of him. So it's not impossible for him to catch up, because that guy's got a ton of skills. So, and it'd be great to have a new catcher, obviously, because this is the last year for Gary either way. He ain't coming back. So there's going to be someone new, whether it's someone like Wells or someone they sign as a stopgap option, but something will be different.
I mean, I think for the catcher position, like, our standards have changed. Like, nobody's asking for 2017 Gary hitting production, but asking for maybe a guy with some power and good defense, like, obviously not going to put up maybe like an 850 OPS or whatever Gary did in 2017, but, like, just hit some home runs and play good defense and, like, let the other positions have most of the offensive production. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, a catcher, you don't need great offense. If you do have it, awesome. That's a great bonus. You're thrilled about that. And someone like Austin Wells, you would definitely have that. I mean, he played 103 games, and he had an 867 OPS, 16 home runs, 76 RBIs. I mean, it's a season you're happy about. Season you're – and a 390 OBP, like, that's a really, really good season from a catcher, man, regardless of the level you're at. So I think for sure that's a guy you look at. And if he's even, like, an average or even a little below average defender – you probably take it. Like, you're probably cool with it if he's putting up those kinds of numbers. And keep in mind, too, I love this more than anything. He's a lefty. A lefty. Yes. Oh, I love lefties. Give me the lefties, man. And that's another good thing about the system, too, actually. We got a decent amount of non-right-handed hitters coming, or switch hitters even. Like, Peraza's a switch hitter. No, he's righty. I don't know why I thought Peraza. Dominguez is a switch hitter. Yep. Austin Wells is lefty. Trey Sweeney is lefty. Like, I mean, those are things you take, and if you keep in
seems
mind,
like they had a kind of a plan, like where it's we're gonna need a few more lefties because we don't have enough.
Definitely not.
You know,
like they kind of prioritize that.
You know what a very bold choice would be by the Yankees going into next year? I know they won't do this, but I think if they really want to kind of shock people. Fucking start Oswald Cabrera at shortstop at the beginning of the season. That'd be bold, but I mean, he's pretty polished. Yeah. He's pretty polished. He played at Double A, dude, and he had 29 home runs with a fucking, what OPS was it? Really? Close enough. I mean, he had an 863 OPS for the season. 863 OPS, but 29 home runs, and he's a switch hitter. I mean, hey, why not?
If you're not gonna sign a guy.
What else do we have to lose?
Exactly.
Would you rather try him out or Andrelton Simmons?
Him.
Exactly. I say
at least there's some upside there.
Yeah.
We know Andrelton Simmons is.
Yeah.
He's He can't hit, man.
Yes, exactly.
He's weird, man, on the internet. Have you ever seen his Twitter account?
Andrelton Simmons?
Yeah, he spreads conspiracy theories and, like, anti-vax shit. It's like, he's like a crazier Kyrie without the celebrity.
And without the skill, Kyrie's very good.
Kyrie's nuts, but like he's a great basketball player, and yes. I will never like take that away. It's just he's a little out there. Let's be honest. He's a little bit of a wacky guy. So yeah.
But you put up with that for his talent with Andrelton Simmons. Yeah. I mean, is it worth it?
He's not good enough.
No.
So, who else is? Are there any like underrated prospects that we're really excited for? We mentioned Everson Pereira.
Yeah, he's a big one. I mean, underrated guys that are like almost gonna be up soon, or like just in general.
Just in general.
I think one, he's not even underrated, but I think it's very Peraza is Alexander Vargas. I mean, this is another shortstop that's making top 100 lists, but just like Peraza, I remember this. It was, I think, maybe a year or two ago, Peraza was on the back ends of some 100 list, and, like, the guy had no impressive numbers. So I would just look at him, and I'd be like, why is he on all these lists? Like, and then he just skyrocketed out of nowhere. And I feel like Vargas is kind of the same right now, where, like, if you look at, you know, his numbers, you don't see much as of now. I mean, like, 2021, he bat 273, and he only had 3 home runs in 42 games. But Peraza was very similar in that way. Like, he didn't have the numbers, but he was on the list because people believed in the tools. And I feel like Vargas might have a similar kind of jump in the next season, maybe. So we'll see.
I'm pointing at Eddie.
Oh, okay. I can't tell through the...
I just like to delegate. All right? I'm a delegator.
I was just looking through the prospect list, and I just had a great reminder of Esteban Floreal, and it always throws me back to the time and Luke legendary.
Yeah, we have found our center fielder.
Hey, I mean, maybe we throw him out there. I'd play him over Hicks.
I would not play him over Hicks.
All right, look, this is what I'm
thinking. I'd rather see what he can do. Exactly. I stand by it.
Like, we know what these guys are. It's not like you're benching some stud for Floreal or, as you said, starting Cabrera shortstop. Like, these stopgap options, they don't excite anyone. Like, yeah, these guys likely aren't going to turn out to be great. But, I mean, you don't know. They could be great. I mean,
look,
why not
for
give
me,
them a chance?
I think,
no, from,
wait, wait,
from,
wait.
God damn it, Tom.
You can go.
For me, the floor is very simple with Floreal. What he is. He's a good defender, right? Yes. Can we agree on that? Yes? Okay. Yes. He's at least a good defender. He has a great arm. Correct. Yes. Beyond that, he's very fast. This team needs athleticism. I would love to have that speed on our team. That'd be great. And whether or not he has the contact issues and the strikeout issues, which are still there, and he still has to prove he can get past some of those, he's gonna, and if over a full season, he's gonna hit, let's say, I think he's a 15-20 home run guy minimum over 162, and I think that's very fair. So let's say he hits 15 to 20 home runs, plays really good defense, and he steals 30-40 fucking bags. That's a valuable player still. And honestly, that's more value than I think Hicks is going to provide playing 60 games and hurt the rest of the way playing shitty defense at center field. Like, is that a crazy thing to say? I really don't think it is. I don't.
Let's hear it, Tom. I'm excited for this.
Remember last year when I wanted to, like, send him to Korea?
I do.
I think, I this may shock you, but I don't necessarily, I actually understand the point you're trying to make. And like, I do like the tools from Floreal. I've always liked the tools. It's just,
oh, of course.
The thing is, it's just never been put together, and it's so frustrating. I mean, he's the guy from 2017 that the Yankees wouldn't trade for anyone, and he just really hasn't developed. He's had some injuries and, like you just said, the contact issue. But let's say this. Say they let Brett Gardner walk.
I think
that there is a rotation to have Floreal on the MLB roster and at least give him some at-bats. And maybe with those at-bats he's being given, he can supplant Aaron Hicks.
That should be the plan because, like, you know, either way, I think he's the kind of guy, I could be wrong, I feel like he does better when he's playing consistently. But at the same time, though, so many guys get hurt, dude. Like, he eventually would find consistent playing time for a stretch. Like, it would happen.
Gardner plays 150 games every year.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, it would happen
every
eventually.
Every damn time.
So, if I'm the Yankees, like, you're giving Floreal a chance because that just makes your team better and more athletic in comparison to Gardner, who's not necessarily horrible, but, like,
he's not what he once was.
He's not what he once was, and Floreal at this stage of his career, even if he's not hitting great, is still going to provide more value on the bases and on defense than current Brett Gardner will in center field.
Yeah.
That's just the God honest truth.
I just got to say, Gardner will be coming back and playing 140 games.
Absolutely.
It's always going to happen. I don't think we can escape him. I mean, I don't dislike the guy, but it always happens. So.
I refuse to think that Brett Gardner is going to be anywhere other than New York, you know, just until the day that man retires, like, the Yankee. It's just, personally, I would probably just cut the cord, but, you know, I think
we're in too deep at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's fine for a fourth outfielder. It's just like,
always not the fourth outfielder. He's always, like, the starter playing 155
every
games. And I'm like, how does this always happen?
Every time, man.
Like,
every
it's like, oh,
time.
Yeah, he's the fourth outfielder. He'll play, you know,
it's always a week.
It's never that.
Always, man. Like, he's going to play 100-plus games, and it's... If there even is 100-plus games. He's coming back. I'm a Waldichuk stand if we're going to go back to underrated Yankee prospects. So, like, that's the one that I pick. You know, he strikes everyone out. He has some walk issues, but, like, you know, at the very worst, he's going to be a reliever that strikes out some people. So, cool. Awesome.
Honestly, the Yankees have a few guys like that.
Yeah. I want to get back to these labor negotiations to kind of round off our show a little bit. Because, like, here's the thing. We don't know when baseball is coming back.
Nope.
And so that makes having a baseball show slightly difficult.
Yeah. Slightly.
Very difficult.
Now, luckily, I have put together a content plan. MLB The Show is coming out. I'm going to do something with that. Got some video essays in the works, yada, yada, yada. But here's the thing. What happens in the doomsday scenario? The doomsday scenario, meaning the cancellation of the 2022 season.
Yeah.
What do we do?
I say that. All right. First, I'm going to say highly, highly, highly unlikely. Nobody's going to want to lose all that money. But let's go with the hypothetical situation.
It's purely hypothetical.
I don't know what we do. Like, I mean, there's nothing. It's going to be what's from now to. I don't even know how long it would take to get sorted out. Like, this would just be nothing, like months of nothing, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know what you can do. I mean, find another sport. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Find a new hobby because there's nothing you could do.
Well, if you are looking for an extra hobby, we do have another podcast.
We do.
Cape Time.
Bang.
Bang. Shameless plug.
Yeah.
Yes, but like, I'm just, well, that's going to get copyrighted. But the thing, you know, here's the thing. We are in this little holding pattern. That's why we haven't really recorded. Yankees haven't been able to sign anyone. It's very hard. Well, they signed Roderick Arias, but I meant sign major league free agents, people that are going to be on the 40-man. You know, so we haven't been able to do much. All right, it's been a constant state of we're stuck. Okay, and the thing is, it's like I want baseball this year, but I really just want these loopholes in the CBA to go away. I don't know if you feel, because like I'm so tired of hearing of service time manipulation. I'm so tired of tanking. And I really want that to get figured out because we're, you know, this negotiation isn't just for the 2022 season. It's for the next 5 years.
If anything, just they need to advance, like I've been saying, enough on it. They don't need to get everything back if you're the players, but you need to get enough back. So that would mean you're limiting tanking to some capacity and the threshold is getting raised without penalties going up at all. If anything, they go down at least a little bit. So if you can manage that, I think you're heading in the right direction, and from there the sport will be in a better place, ideally.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but the one good thing to look forward to is that once the lockout does end, it's going to be a NBA type week when all these players sign. Literally, like the moment players are eligible to sign, I think quite a few will be signed, and some transactions are going to happen, like right on the dot.
Oh man, the 48 hours to 72 hours after the agreement is signed, we are gonna get baseball will come back with a fury in a good way, and it's gonna be awesome to see because baseball is gonna be constantly in the news. You still have top free agents that are still on the market, like Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Freddie Freeman. You know that's gonna be awesome. It's just it's frustrating. And I lost my train of thought because I heard someone singing. But, you know, we're going to get through this. Baseball will come back. We're going to try to do somewhat regular shows. I mean, obviously it's going to be tricky when you don't really have much to talk about. But we'll do our best. Hopefully these negotiations that are taking place this week are going well. Hopefully we don't have any cancellation of games, because if we don't have an agreement by, I believe, Monday, games start getting canceled. Yes. Players don't get paid for those games, and it's a mess. Let's have the full 162. Let's pray to God we get something done.
Now, the only good thing that will come out of not playing the full 162 is that the players said they'd pull expanded playoffs, which is like my public enemy number one. I hate expanded playoffs.
I really don't like
I hate it more than anything. Like it infuriates me.
I like the exclusivity of the playoffs.
Me too. Like again, all I can think of is the NBA regular season, which is like it's so meaningless.
It doesn't matter.
That's an 82-game season. This is gonna be 162 games of I mean, you could win 78 games and be on the borderline of getting
the only way, like the only way you would have that have any meaning is if you really give a lot of benefits to the top seeds, and it'd have to be like big benefits. Otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't care. Like if you do that, I can at least buy into like, okay, we got to beat out Houston and Tampa for that top seed. You know, we really got to get this and that. Like,
there
got to
be an incentive for the top teams.
Like if you add those big incentives, which is pretty much what I've heard they are doing, then I can at least get it more invested as a fan personally.
Yeah, we're talking about this from the competitive standpoint, but also from a financial standpoint.
Yep.
The thing is like the reason why those 78 win teams want this expanded playoff so bad is so they don't have to spend any extra money. They can sneak in and get some of that playoff money. And so it's really just a greed move on their part.
Yeah.
And it hurts the kind of competitive balance of baseball in a way. And it's just like, I don't want to see teams that don't deserve to be in the playoffs in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's for one round or for all of the rounds. I don't care. Fuck. Like, if you want to move it to like 12, I mean, I can live with it. But
12,
14,
I could live. Yeah.
14 crosses the line. I do not want half my baseball teams in my league making the playoffs, especially when a few of them won't deserve it.
Yeah. Like the 2020 playoffs, like, I didn't like the structure. I don't know what that was. Sounds like Michael K, but
that was Michael K, yes.
I didn't like the structure. Like it was just like I mean I don't know if it would be like that. Maybe because partly it was just because of a pandemic that they were doing like random like 3 p.m. games. Like nobody was watching like the Marlins and whoever the hell they played. I can't even remember. None of that was memorable to me. Like,
yeah,
you can always remember like a classic like Yankees Indians division series or like the Red Sox and the Rays, like stuff like that. Like I remember because that was like two great teams playing against each other. The Marlins somehow made the playoffs. That's all I can remember from 2020. And like, why? You know, like the Marlins did not deserve to be in.
Yeah.
Don't do it. But they're going to. So I got to,
they will.
Unfortunately, get on board with this, which I'm having a tough time doing.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's unfortunate. We will. Just a matter of when. And we're going to have our answer. Pretty soon.
Yep.
It was nice to see Jameson Taillon bring the coffee, like Eddie mentioned earlier.
Yeah. That was really great.
What a leader, man. What a leader.
Yeah.
I mean, Garrett Cole showing up in the rental car. That was always fun to see.
We've emphasized
cars
a lot in these negotiations.
Yeah.
We
don't really have anything else to talk about. We saw Aaron Judge hit a home run through a chain link fence because that's as much baseball as we're gonna get this month.
Yeah.
So yeah, go watch college baseball. It's fun.
Do we have anything else to speak of?
Not really. I actually might have to watch some college baseball, though. It's a good call.
It's fun. It's fun.
My friend plays college baseball, so I'll watch him.
My cousin plays college baseball, so.
Nice. My friend has the best college baseball name, so, like, you know.
What is it? Wait, I think you told me.
Yeah, I have.
What is it? What is it again?
It's Socrates Bardatos.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Nice. I mean, dude, that's a fucking baseball name. Like that's legendary.
That's so good.
Right?
I think this year
I'm pretty sure he's eligible for the draft. So I'm rooting for him. I am rooting.
That made my life right there. That's so good. That's so good. Draft him immediately, Cashman.
Yes,
yeah.
Please. Yankees, please.
I mean,
he's a switch hitting catcher. Switch hitting catcher.
We need catching and we need name branding.
Yes,
Aaron Judge
absolutely.
And Socrates.
Oh, bang. Dude, that's fucking legendary. Let's do it.
That would be sick.
Let's do it. First round pick.
Yep.
Give that man $1 million and then Have your friend give us some money for our podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
We can use the sponsors and the equipment. But if any of you have anything else to say, now's a good time to say it, because we all die eventually.
I don't think I do.
Let's play baseball soon.
Yeah.
That's it.
Eddie was sounding like Socrates right there.
Well, all right, guys. This has been a pleasure as always. I'm happy to be back. Yep. But until next time, this has been another episode of Yankee Center. See you next time, guys.
Peace.